As it was announced, this evening's scripture reading will be from Matthew 13, verses 24 through 30. That's the book of Matthew, chapter 13, verses 24 through 30. And I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. He put another parable before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up and bore again, then the weeds appeared also. And the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, 'Master, do you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds?' He said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' So the servants said to him, 'Then do you want us to go and gather them?' But he said, 'No, lest in gathering the weeds you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and at harvest time I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into the barn.'" And that was Matthew 13, verses 24 through 30.
Good to be with you again tonight. I have another good-looking crowd. I appreciate our Sunday evening crowds are doing very well, and we appreciate everyone's faithfulness. Good to be here tonight. Hope everyone got some good rest this afternoon. We're going to wrap up here tonight our what's turned out to be a three-part series on living life with the mindset of modesty. And I can't emphasize enough how important the mindset is. If we're going to be modest in every walk of life, it's going to begin with our attitude and our thinking. And thus the title, Living with the Mindset of Modesty. We have already shown the definition, given the definition of modesty. We're not going to look at all of those again, but you can go back on the tapes and see that. We'll be looking a little bit later in the lesson. We'll take a look at some definitions of it once again. But then we've talked about where to apply modesty. And last week on Sunday, last Sunday evening, we said that we need to apply it in our conduct, in our speech, and in our use of the internet. And this is not by any means an exhaustive list. But the point is there are a lot of different areas of life where we need to be modest. And we need to be modest in every walk of life. Of course, when we think of modesty, usually we think of dress. And so tonight, then, we want to conclude this series by looking at our dress from a modest standpoint. Dressing with a modest mindset. And that's exactly what we need to do. We need to dress with distinction, not go along with the world. Remember, Paul said, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so we don't look to the world for a standard at all, but instead we look to God's word. And so dressing with a modest mindset. And let's get right to it. We begin in the Old Testament, and we begin with the book of Genesis. So turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 3. This, of course, is a passage that you're very familiar with. This is where Adam and Eve introduced sin into the world. Genesis, the third chapter, and we're aware of the sin that they committed, partaking of the forbidden fruit. But then at verse 7, after they did that, the Bible says, "Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin cloths." And so their innocence is gone. They had no problem being naked before because they had the innocence of children, but now they have sinned and their eyes are opened. And so they did something about that. They made themselves loin cloths. But what's interesting is when you drop down to verse 20, the Bible says the man called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. And then it says, and the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skin and clothed them. And you say, well, they already were clothed. When their eyes were opened, they made themselves loincloths. Yes, and God looked at them and realized that was insufficient. Now, Adam and Eve, once they clothed themselves with loincloths, they were no longer nude, but they were still naked. And there's a distinction between nudity and nakedness. There's not too many people, at least in this country, who are walking around nude, but there's a whole lot of nakedness. And we need to determine exactly what that is. Even Adam and Eve viewed themselves, at least Adam viewed himself as being naked, even after they put on the loincloths. You might notice at verse 9 it says, but the Lord God called to the man and said to him, where are you? And he said, I heard the sound of you in the garden and I was afraid. Why? Because I was naked and I hid myself. And so again, still naked even though they put on the attire that they did. And so the Bible says that God clothed them. Now, what is important here is the word garments there is equivalent to a tunic. That's what God clothed them with. And so we go back and we look at a tunic. Back in Old Testament times, what was that? What kind of clothing was that? And it's not too hard to determine. We have many sources to go to. A tunic generally with sleeves coming down to the knees and rarely to the ankles. Sometimes they would go down to the ankles, but generally they came down to the knees. That was a tunic. In Fred Wright's Manners and Customs, he said the tunic was a shirt which was worn next to the skin. The simplest form of it was without sleeves and reached to the knees, sometimes to the ankles. We can look at, again, Barnes' notes on this. He said the Jews wore two principal garments, an interior and an exterior. The interior here, called the coat, was made of linen and encircled the whole body. So now I want to get you get this in your mind. Just try to picture this. That's what a tunic was. And for all practical purposes, this is what God made for Adam and Eve. A tunic did what? It wrapped around the whole body. And it says the coat or tunic was extended to the neck and had long or short sleeves. And so the tunic then was a garment that wrapped around the whole body, covered the whole body, and then from the neck down at least to the knee. That was a tunic. That was the garment that God looked down, saw Adam and Eve. They had clothed themselves with loincloths, and he said, no, that's not sufficient. And so he clothed them with this garment. We have... In the classical Greek, it said, this is the Roman tunic. Now, admittedly, this would be removed from the Old Testament, but it is similar. It resembled the Roman tunic is the point. This is the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia. He's talking about the Old Testament tunic, and he just said it resembled the Roman one. Corresponding most nearly to our long shirt, reaching below the knees always, with regard especially to the Roman tunic. And in case it was designed for dress occasions, reaching almost to the ground. Now, that wasn't always the case, but always to the knees. That was always the case. And so now we see what kind of garment God made for Adam and Eve, what God felt was appropriate. And that's important. And that never really changed with God. We have various passages of scripture like Exodus 20 at verse 26. And you shall not go up. He's talking to the priest here. You shall not go up by steps to my altar that your nakedness be not exposed on it. Now picture a priest walking up. We're not talking about huge steps, but walking up some steps. If they had a garment that was too short, what would be exposed? Their thighs would be exposed. And here it's simply called nakedness. And what you need to understand is that God views the thighs as nakedness. When he clothed Adam and Eve, he gave them a garment that went down at least to the knee. Because that's how God views nakedness. And in Exodus 28 at verse 32, and thou shalt make them linen breeches to cover their nakedness from the loins even unto the thighs they shall reach. Now, what part of the thigh is he talking about? Obviously, the lower thigh. And not the upper thigh. I know there's some nonsense going around on the internet, evidently. The idea that this passage is referring to the upper thigh would be absolutely ridiculous. It would make no sense whatsoever. And when you take into consideration what we have already seen and what we know God clothed Adam and Eve with, it's clear it's the lower thigh that's under consideration. So we see this over and over. Even when God was upset with Israel and condemning them, he said, and take the millstone and gird and grind meal, uncover thy locks, make bare the leg, uncover the thigh, pass over the rivers. And then he says, thy nakedness shall be uncovered. What is he talking about there? It's a clear statement. Obviously, the nakedness refers to the uncovered thigh. In fact, he says, and yea, thy shame shall be seen. I will take vengeance and I will not meet thee as a man. What would be their shame? It would be the uncovering of the thigh. Why? Because God viewed that as nakedness. And so when we look at this again, we see that a skirt, dress, or shorts that reveal any portion of your thigh, God views as nakedness. That's not the standard of the world. Of course not. Not even close. But we know how God feels. Remember, the standard is God's word. We know how he views things. A shirt or blouse that shows any cleavage or any portion of the midriff, God views as nakedness. The bottom line is this. If you wear anything that exposes your loins, midriff, back, buttocks, bosom, thighs, God views you as being naked. And how do we know that? Because we know how he clothed Adam and Eve. I know right away some people say, well, that's the Old Testament, and so we're not under the Old Testament. You can't use any of that. Yes, we can. And I want you to pay attention to this. You need to understand that you remember Paul said that things that were written aforetime were written for our learning. And that would be applicable even to some parts of the law, but it refers to the Old Testament as a whole. And what we learn from the Old Testament in many cases is simply how God views things. This, what we have seen so far as how he clothed Adam and Eve, that had nothing to do with the law. Obviously, the law had not even come yet. This is just how God viewed nakedness. He sees Adam and Eve. They've already covered themselves, but it wasn't good enough. So he made them a garment that's equivalent to what would be a tunic that would wrap around the whole body and would cover from the neck down to at least the knee. And you say, but is that, let me give you an illustration. And I should say more of an example. How do you view marriage? I think we would all come to the same conclusion. Marriage, according to God, This is God's will. This is how God feels about it. Marriage is one man, one woman for life. What God has joined together, let no man tear asunder. Now, that's God's will. Let me ask you where you find that. Do you know you'll never read that in any of the epistles of the apostles? From Romans to Revelation, in fact, you throw in the book of Acts, you will not find that marriage is to be one man, one woman for life. The only place you find that is in Genesis chapter 2, and in the Gospels, you find Jesus quoting Genesis, and that's it. And yet none of us would stand up and say, you know, that doesn't count because that is found in Genesis 2 and that really doesn't matter. That's Old Testament stuff. No, what we find in Genesis chapter 2 is how God views marriage. There's some things about God, His character, His power, and how He views certain things that will never, ever, ever change. They've been with Him for all eternity. He's not changing His mind on it. And what we find is, when it comes down to dress, there is nothing in the Bible, again, from Genesis to Revelation, that would give us any inclination whatsoever that God has changed His view in what's appropriate attire. We know what He thought with Adam and Eve. Why in the world would we think that He has changed His point of view? Unless you have some concrete evidence that that is the case, then I would suggest that you simply go with what you know and how He clothed Adam and Eve. Then let's look at the New Testament. And of course, when we think of the New Testament, there is one primary passage that we use. 1 Timothy 2, verse 9 and 10. And it says, in like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becomes women professing godliness with good works. Now, let me just make two quick points about this passage. Number one, there is no doubt that what Paul is dealing with in this passage is overdressing. This passage, when we begin to look at the definitions of the words, and we're going to do that right now, there's no question that it condemns underdressing and overdressing. But there's no doubt Paul was dealing specifically with overdressing because he was dealing with a real situation in his day. But again, the passage condemns both. And since our problem in this society, in this culture, and sometimes in the church is not overdressing, but underdressing. Now, sometimes we have an overdressing problem. But more times than not, it's underdressing. So that's the application that we're going to make. And number two, let's understand, Paul is addressing women in this particular passage. But anyone with any common sense and any fairness of mind at all would recognize and admit that the principles apply to men every bit as much as women. So let's keep that in mind as we look at this as a whole. All right. So he uses the word adorn. Women are to adorn themselves. The word adorn means to decorate. Thayer says, to put in order, to arrange, to make ready, to prepare. Strong says, to put in proper order, to decorate, literally or figuratively. So one of the things that we learn about modesty in apparel is that we are to order ourselves properly. Like, we're not to be just a mess when we dress. We understand that. But the most important thing here is the word means to decorate. When you decorate something, why do you decorate anything? It's because you know people are going to see it. Like, you don't decorate something and then put it in the closet so nobody sees it. You decorate it because you know people are going to see it. He uses that term to apply to our dress. When we dress, we know people are going to look at us. That's the purpose of dressing, at least the primary purpose. And why we don't go out into the community without anything on. We dress because people are going to see us. The question is, when people look at us as we adorn ourselves, what's the message that we are giving them? That's what I need to ask myself. That's what you need to ask yourself. Whenever you go out into public with regard to dress, what are people seeing? What are people going to think? Our main concern is God. But yes, we adorn ourselves because we know people are watching. People are going to come to some kind of conclusion, some kind of opinion about what they see when they look at us in our dress. That doesn't surprise you. You know that. We all know that to be a fact. So what kind of message do you want to give people as they look at you? And so then he said, well, how should we adorn ourselves? He says we ought to do it with modest apparel. Here's some of those definitions just to remind us: having or proceeding from a disinclination to call attention to oneself, observing conventional proprieties in speech, behavior, or dress, free from showiness or ostentation. Again, we've already seen this definition, but now in this lesson, we need to look at it specifically as it relates to how we dress. We avoid ostentatiousness, showiness, trying to draw attention to ourselves. That's the opposite of modesty. Free from showiness or ostentation, unpretentious, moderate, and limited size, quantity, or range, not extreme. That's a consistent part of the definition of modesty, not being an extremist when it comes down to your dress. It's important. That's a part of it. Furthermore, we're told that modesty or modest means respectable, orderly, honorable, virtuous. Is that how you dress? That has to do with modest apparel. Virtuous. We need to dress virtuously. Also, in classical Greek, this word is often used to call someone respectable or honorable. It means to have one's life in good order, to be virtuous. The concept always contains the idea of control of the body and its movements and its impulses. That's modest. We often use this to condemn the so-called modern dance with all the movements and whatnot of the body. But it has to do overall with having control of your body. That includes what you put on it from the standpoint of apparel. And so very important. Now let's look at shamefacedness, another term. We've kind of touched on that. That's a very, especially as we talk about having a mindset of modesty, having shamefacedness is very important. We live in a world today that has lost the ability to blush. Isaiah talked about that in his day. Today, it's just as bad. It is amazing that people that have no shyness about them at all. The child of God still maintains a degree of shyness and bashfulness when it comes down to dress and what people see us wearing. The word specifically means extremely modest or shy, bashful. Thayer says a sense of shame or honor, modesty, bashfulness, reverence, regard for others. I should have circled that, because that's important when it comes down to dress and modest apparel. Regards for others. What we don't want to do is dress in such a way that are going to make other people sin. When we cause other people to lust after us, the Bible calls that lasciviousness. It's one of the works of the flesh. And yes, we can do that by the way we dress. Now, if you're dressing in such a way that is pleasing and acceptable to God, His will, and someone lusts over you, that's between them and God. But when you start revealing stuff, when you start wearing things too loose, too tight, or whatever the case may be, too low, too short, and people, that causes someone to lust, that's a you problem. That's a me problem if I do that. That's lasciviousness, and it's condemned by the word of God. And so shamefacedness, then, it has to do, it involves with being considerate, being reverent towards God, and regarding others, respect. And Vine says, a sense of shame, modesty, is used regarding the demeanor of women in the church. And so shamefacedness is very significant. Here's another one. Well, that's the same one. I did that twice. Sobriety. Let's take a look at that. Sobriety is soundness of mind. That is literal sanctity or figuratively self-control. That plays a heavy part in this. It does take some self-control, not to want to be like the crowd, not to want to go along with what everyone else is doing. Things that the world think are natural and normal are very often sinful. And it takes some self-control to say, well, I know it would be popular with people if I dressed like this or I put this on or that on, but I'm not going to do that. It takes some discipline. And that's a part of how Paul tells us to dress. We need to have sobriety, and so it involves that. Denotes soundness of mind, good judgment, that habitual inner self-government with its constant reign on all the passions and desires around the time of the coming of Christ. This noun was used in the sense of good judgment, moderation, self-control, and general soundness of mind. So think about that when it comes down to how you are dressing. And then godliness, devoutness, excuse me, that is pity. Strong says reverence towards God denotes true religion. I'm not going to talk about this right now, but I really like that part where it says reverence towards God. Like whenever we dress, we need to have some consideration for God and how He thinks. We're not talking about this now, but don't you know that applies even to when we come before Him and worship Him? We need to, Paul is dealing specifically with dress right here. That's his main issue. And he says, do it with godliness, which involves reverence towards God. When you dress for services, do you think about that? That's a sermon for another time, but that is certainly a part of it. So we need to dress in a godly fashion. All right. So let's look then and just get right to it. As we begin to wrap this up, we want to make sure we're very clear on this whole thing. What does it mean? What is modest apparel? It means to dress in such a way that shows respect with our clothes decently arranged. Again, Christians are neat. That's just a part of dressing with modest apparel. Not in such a way that's going to draw attention to ourselves. You know what Christians don't do? They don't dye their hair green. I know people are doing all kinds of crazy things. Christians don't wear three big old looping earrings in their nose and five in their ear and one on their cheek. They don't do that. There's moderation. I'm certainly not saying that jewelry is wrong. There's some Pentecostals that have come to that position. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that it's wrong to have earrings or whatever. Moderation is the situation. We got to be moderate in what we do. That has to do with modest apparel. It means to dress with a sense of shame, knowing that it is improper to expose certain portions of our bodies. Christians should know that. Nothing deep about it. When we separate ourselves from the fads and what people are doing in the world, there's nothing strange about that. We can all agree. We can all understand that has to do with modest apparel, and knowing it's improper to expose certain portions of the body. It means to dress in such a way that shows good judgment, self-control, or discipline. It means to dress in such a way that will demonstrate our fear of and our reverence for God. Every time you go anywhere and you get dressed, God should be on your mind. Not, oh, what's gonna make people look at me? Oh, what's gonna draw attention? That's immodesty, not modesty. We should be thinking, what does God want me to do? God want me to put this on? Is this pleasing to God? As I think about how he dressed Adam and Eve, is this going to be satisfactory? Whatever it is that I'm putting on. We ought to think about those things. What is immodest apparel then? It is when one decorates the body in such a way to draw attention after oneself. It is when one wears clothes that will encourage others to gaze upon oneself with lustful eyes. Avoid that. Again, we have to have a mindset of modesty. All of us should want to avoid that at all costs. It is when one wears something that is extremely out of the ordinary, bizarre, outlandish. People like to make a point in their dress, but not Christians. We don't care about making points. We don't care about impressing men. Remember what we said in the very first lesson. It's not about drawing attention to ourselves. It's about drawing attention to Jesus Christ. That's what we're interested in. And that needs to be seen even in the clothes that we wear. It is where one wears something that exposes the loins, midriff, buttocks, bosom, or thighs. You dress in any way like that, then you're not meeting the high standard of God's word. It is when one wears something that is too short, too tight, or too see-through. Whenever you get dressed, you think about this. It's when one wears low-cut blouses, bikini, bathing suits, one-piece bathing suits, short shorts, short skirts, with or without leggings, or tight jeans that reveal the shape of one's body. That's immodest. And we need to stop and think of who it is that we want to please. We cannot go along with the world. We can't even say, I'm going to do a little bit better than the world. Remember I talked about that? That's a trap we fall into. I know the world, they show a whole lot. I'm not going to do that much, but I'll do better than that. That's not the standard is the Word of God. Not just a little better than the world. So we need to think about that. All right, I'm going to close, and I'm going to put some immodest pictures on the screen. I'm going to tell you now, I try to use good judgment. I'm not going to cross any lines or anything like that, but it's immodest apparel. But I want us to leave knowing for sure what's under consideration, what you need to avoid if you want to please God in your dress. That's immodest apparel. Cleavage being shown, thighs being shown. Most people in the world would look at that and say, no, that's not so bad. It's not God's standard. What you need to avoid is that. That's immodest. This is immodest. Oh, it's cute. Too tight shows too much. That's immodest. According to all the definitions that we have looked at about modesty and everything the Bible says about modest apparel, that won't do. Not about going out there looking cute. That's immodest. Remember how God clothed Adam and Eve? Wrapped around the body from the neck to the knee. That's immodest. That's immodest. She's completely covered, too tight. When you wear clothing that gives the shape of the body and takes everything out of the realm of imagination, that's immodest. Doesn't matter how popular it is. Don't think only in terms, well, I have to cover everything up. How are you covering everything up? That's immodest. This is immodest. A short skirt, but I got leggings on. Yeah, they're form-fitting. That's showing too much. That won't meet the high standard of the Word of God. That is immodest. This is immodest. Showing too much. Oh, I don't see any cleavage. Let me show you a picture of that same thing from another angle. What about that? Same dress. That's one of the things you have to think about when you're getting dressed. People are going to be looking. You're adorning yourself. What are they going to see? Well, I'm not going to see anything when I sit down and I put a blanket over. What are they going to see when you stand up? When are they going to see when you reach over to get something? What are they going to see? If you have a modest mindset, you don't want to even get close to that. You want to do what is pleasing to God. That's the mindset that we have to develop. That's immodest. There's nothing wrong with men going out not wearing any a shirt, is it? Yeah, that's immodest. At nearly 100 degrees, I'd have to go out and cut my grass. I can't have a shirt on. Yes, you can. If you don't, it's immodest. That's showing too much. These things, showing the midriff and so on, that's not just a woman thing. Men are often immodest out there in the world. That's immodest. Jeans are just too tight on male or female. That's immodest. That's immodest. That's immodest. Showing the thigh. You know God's will. To God, that's nakedness. I don't think it is. Doesn't matter what you think. How did God cover Adam and Eve? You know how God feels about it. What did he say about priests going upstairs? That's, you show your thighs, that's nakedness. God hasn't changed. What would make you think he has? That's immodest. 90% of the world would say, that's not immodest. We're not 90% of the world. We're God's elect. And we want to do what's pleasing to him. And so, as we think about all of this, again, it starts with a mindset. Let's develop a mindset of modesty so that not only in dress, in everything that we do, in our conduct, in our conversation, when you get online, when you go out to the store, whatever you're doing, you make sure you want to behave, act, and talk, and dress modestly. Because that's God's will for all of us. I hope that we'll give this some serious consideration. Are you subject to the invitation of Christ? Maybe you haven't obeyed the gospel. That's where it all begins. It's not where it ends, just the beginning. But there is a beginning place. You want a relationship with God, you have to get rid of the sin that's in your life. There's only one thing that can wash away your sins. That's the blood of Christ. The Bible teaches us that you contact that in the waters of baptism, Romans 6, verse 3 and 4. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, you're willing to repent of your sins, stop sinning, and turn your life over to God, Acts 3 at verse 19. If you will only but confess the Lord Jesus with your mouth, Romans 10, 9 and 10, and then be buried in the waters of baptism, your sins will be washed away. Maybe you're a child of God and you've gone back out into sin somehow in some form or fashion. God is a merciful God. He wants you to come back. Repent. Ask him for forgiveness. And he's faithful and just to forgive you. Whatever your situation is, don't leave this building in an undone condition. The risk is far too great. Do what's right. Do it right now as we together stand and sing.